Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
The idea of this was to get everybody together because we're all local podcasters doing a podcast together. So I thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So basically, talk about Whiskey and Wisdom.
Yeah. Whiskey and Wisdom started out as just bar conversations with regular, ordinary people from Wilmington. And the way that it got brought up, I was listening to podcasts for years, like even before you could go on Spotify or Apple, when you had to like make your own RSS feed. And so, you know, it'd be a lot of fun to have my own podcast and do something with it. Never knew what I wanted to do. And so me and my co-host, Chris Kellum, we were sitting at a bar.
Shout out to Chris.
Yes, Chris. Sorry you couldn't make it today, working at the jewelry store. But we were sitting at a bar drinking whiskey, and we're like, you know what? We always chat up everyone around us, and they always have really cool stories. Why don't we share these stories? And that's kind of how our podcast was built.
And with you, what gave you the mojo to get going with this? Because you are literally, you are like every day, I cannot even keep up with yours
anymore. I'm sorry, it's so annoying.
I'm annoying myself. I absolutely love your podcast. And I'm not, yeah. I don't listen to a lot. I really only listen to the two of yours because it's the local ones. It's sort of like with it, well, the amount of time we have during the day for that kind of, that kind of thing. But, no, so yours is like every time I can't like keep, I'm like, where's she at with what's Candace chatting about? So
yeah, there's chatting with Candace, and I had a lot of opinions, and that was kind of like it's the short version of why I started it. I just saw everything kind of getting popularized, and I'm like, well, I feel like I have a platform, and with a platform comes a responsibility, and I didn't want to be someone that was just constantly taking from a fan base. So for me, it was a level of contribution and then also learning, because you don't want to ever get stagnant. So if you have an external motivating factor, like an audience, a podcast, like, okay, I have to read this book, or I have to do my research on this guest. So it gives you a fun reason to learn and grow. And then we started a second podcast because one wasn't enough. So we did Canceled Weekly, and that one is doing incredible. And I joke with the guys all the time. I'm like, we both have our own separate ones that we started independently.
Is that the guy that's looking at you like with flashes? Like you're talking, this guy keeps popping up.
There's two other guys. There's Gerard Michaels, and he's a comedian. And then there's Mickey Gall, who is a UFC champ. He fights coming up in like 302 in New Jersey. Both amazing dudes. And yeah, we kept having all this chemistry. It's funny because Gerard and I have had all these shows that were supposed to happen that never did. Usually it's because of me. And he's driving through North Carolina, and I'm 5 months pregnant, exhausted. He's like, Candace, baby, what are you doing? And I haven't talked to him in years. I'm like, what's up, Gerard? And the wind's blowing. I can barely hear him. He's like, I got UFC champ Mickey Gall in the car. We want to do a podcast. You're going to be around later today? And I was like, sure. I grabbed an iced coffee and I met him downtown. And then that episode went crazy. And I was like, there is an undeniable chemistry between the three of us. And it's kind of like this island of misfit toys in a way. So we started the podcast and it's crushing it.
So Canceled.
Canceled Weekly.
Mm-hmm. Canceled Weekly. Mm-hmm. I do my homework.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I didn't know they were around the area. I didn't know they're from around the area.
No, they're originally from Jersey, but they both live in South Florida. So I actually go there every 4 to 6 weeks, and we kind of batch them out.
Oh, fun. Oh,
nice. Yeah. I go there Friday.
Who was the guy? All right. So you're going there Friday to you're going to do a bunch of back to back so that you can air them as they go.
Yeah.
So we had talked about that before, is how there are certain people that, what was the guy's name that you told me that he'll wait like 6 months and then do like 15 hours?
Oh, Dan Carlin. Dan,
yes.
Yeah. From Hardcore History.
I feel like, cause that was what we were saying. Well, and I thought bringing us together to talk about like some of the challenges we face as podcasters individually. And one of mine is obviously the editing. Cause I constantly am like, okay, that maybe should not go out there. And plus we're also drinking a lot of times very heavily.
Yeah.
And so we tend to get a little loose. And so that's when it's like, okay, I've always watched mine before. I hate watching myself.
Really? Don't do that. I've never watched
so
one
you
of
think
mine.
Just like let it fly.
You know me. I
don't
like,
want to watch
it. I'm freedom maximist, set, like censorship free. I think that people want to see you be human. And the thing is, it's not that you're not going to make a mistake or say something that you aren't like, ooh, I didn't think that through enough. Right. Or maybe I had a change of mind. I have new information, whatever it is. It's a very human thing to mess up and then say, shouldn't have done that. This is my new perspective, my new take. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really respectable. So I think people want to just see you be human. It's not to deny any fault or, you know, maybe like stupid thinking, whatever it is.
You're allowed to fuck up.
Yeah. And it's just owning it and moving forward. And anyone that tries to hold you back because you did something wrong, well, like fuck them, right? That just shows you that they're not interested in growth or evolution, and that has no place for you.
And you said before, like, get rid of the weak ones.
Yeah, it's just flushing them out, right? Yeah. You're not going to love everyone. Everyone's not going to love you. So it's just finding your base and being yourself.
That's kind of what we had to go through as well. So the first couple, like, we had no clue what we were doing podcast-wise. They were pretty rough. And so, like, I started heavily... I understand. So I started heavily editing our podcast. And then maybe three or four through, I've had, like, good friends of mine. They're like, it doesn't sound like you. That doesn't sound like Chris. And I was like, you know what? I think it's because I'm too heavy into editing all of this.
Yep.
So I got back to just letting it fly and like every once in a while, I'll take a sentence here or there to make it sound a little bit better.
Or to shorten it just because it got too
long. Yeah, because it got crazy long. But yeah, almost everything now is unedited.
There's not too long. Don't let anyone tell you there's too long.
Yeah.
God. I just did a 3-hour episode.
Get out.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
There's not too long. And people will listen. Like, of course, there's people that have limited time and they might do it in like 20-minute spurts or whatever. Or you might have a huge cliff dive. But I bet you if you were to look at Rogan's episode, there's still a cliff dive probably after the halfway point.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the people that listen to the end. That's your like loyal Tim Ferriss 1000 loyal fans. Yeah.
It is fun to do like a two and a half hour podcast. We'll do one every once in a while, just like for my own like shits and giggles. So like who's going to listen to this whole entire thing? Like
someone.
And there's quite a few more than I always think.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, who's actually listening to like us and who is just like jumping on to see what the guests had to say. You've had some amazing guests on your podcast,
by the way. Thank you. Yeah, I've been super fortunate.
The one thing I wanted to ask you about is, unfortunately, John McAfee passed away.
Yes.
But how was that having him on your podcast?
He was a wild man. I was so excited when he agreed to... I was his last interview.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
Wow.
Wild. And he was actually... He was in hiding when I interviewed him. And then they caught him the following week. And I was just like, holy shit, is it because of me? Because we're all so ego... I'm so egocentric. Mm. And obviously, like, no. Right? He was on the run.
Right,
so it was probably going to happen.
They were already looking.
But we got done recording. And I went upstairs. And I literally put my hands on my hips. And I bent down. And I went... And my husband's like, how'd it go? And I go, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what just happened. I think I blacked out.
Right.
Because there's not many people out there like him. Like he was unapologetically himself. He was anti-establishment. Yeah. He was kind of like a James Bond villain at the same time. And you're like, is he a white hat? Is he a black hat? My gut says white hat all day. Yeah. I think he was a man of the people. And I think that he was trying to expose corruption. And I secretly hope a little part of me is like, he's still out there.
Right.
Probably not. Rest in peace. We will raise a glass to you, but I hope that he's in hiding and he's out there a little bit.
Exactly. Same. Yeah,
he was incredible.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Jesse, what is this we're sipping on today?
Okay. So, I thought to bring us together because Whiskey Wednesdays, we do, $7 whiskey drinks, old fashions, whiskey sours, and we've been using that Traveler, the Chris Stapleton bourbon. So our old fashions here, obviously everywhere you go, the drinks are somewhat critiqued to specialize in their own way. I was telling Candace earlier, it gets to the point where people say, okay, that's not exactly how you make this drink or exactly how that. Well, we're not everybody. We're not supposed to be like every other restaurant that you see or bar that's supposed to make things a certain way. I mean, like I said, they've got that espresso bar. It's only espresso drinks. So there's 1,000 ways to make an espresso martini, just like there are with old fashions and margaritas and so forth. So with ours, I named it the Rex Old Fashioned after my dog. He's walking around. There he is right there. So we muddle everything. We muddle the orange. We muddle the sugar cream. I can't even talk straight. I'm talking too fast.
Have a couple more steps.
Yeah. Right.
the Luxardo cherry, the orange, the sugar cube. We muddle everything. We create like the juices for that. We pack it full of ice, and it's an extremely gracious pour of bourbon. And then we shake the shit out of it. And the reason that all happened was because it would get so hot up here in the summer before we got the AC in a better place, because it's the cooling tower on the tower that causes all these problems. So I wanted it to feel like almost like a slushy without it being slushy. So it was, because you put the big cube for an old fashioned usually with, you just put the Luxardo cherry in there with, and so, you know, we don't smoke any of our drinks, only for fire hazard safety things up here. I understand you can smoke drinks. It's great. It looks fun. But with, you know,
we're on the top floor
of an old building, yeah, with the fire escape is pretty creepy.
Yeah.
I have been up there one time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we simplified our drinks as much as we can and put a twist on it. And so this is our Rex Old Fashioned. So cheers to Rexy. He's over here somewhere. But anyway, yeah, so your podcast is Whiskey and Wisdom. So a lot of your podcasts, you touch on different drinks and bourbons and whiskeys. Yeah. And tell us about how that just came, kind of the name sort of flowed.
Yeah, we actually went to Instagram to get the name. We want to talk to a bunch of people, find out more about them, learn what they've learned over their years of being alive. And we wanted to do something different than just a regular interview podcast. So like, what should we do? And that's when the bar conversation thing came up. So we went to Instagram and said, hey, friends, family, everyone that follows us, we're doing a drinking podcast, probably about whiskey. What should we call it? We had a bunch of people put in different recommendations. I think we had about 20. And then we had like a bracket of yes or no to all of these, and Whiskey and Wisdom won.
Well, it's like
it's
that,
a great name.
It is great.
Yeah, thank you.
It sounds good. It markets well. It sounds,
great for merch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. We have our own whiskey glasses.
Setting yourself up for a whiskey line, hopefully.
Right. Yeah. That's what we're hoping for. Seriously. At some point. Yeah.
It's very Drinking Bros-esque. I feel
Yes.
So it's the idea of camaraderie, drinking.
Mm-hmm. Which was started in Wilmington.
Yeah. I'm close with a couple of those guys.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, we just had dinner with Dan actually last night, nights ago.
I saw that a couple months ago. You were on with, was it Dan or all of them?
Both of them. So I did Drinking Bros, and then I did Citizen, which is Dan's.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And are actually in the same
Wilmington
area.
Podcast?
Started here. Now they're in Texas because they're fucking huge. But then they did their Hard AF Seltzer. So I see your line happening. Yeah.
So it's actually really funny that you bring them up too, because they have a container that's actually going to be a barcade in the Cargo District. We're right across the street from where they used to shoot that podcast.
No, I saw your studio there. I was talking to Leslie about getting a space there for my podcast.
But
I looked at one of the containers that was kind of horizontal that you would be walking under in the food court.
Yep.
But I'm like, I just don't know the logistics of setting up all the lights and the cameras and stuff even in one of the bigger units. So I'm toying with it, but it's going to be tough, I think.
If it gets loud
I'm not worried about sound, because I use a Shure. So I wouldn't even hear... Ooh, I wouldn't even, oh my God. I wouldn't even hear your dog walking around with those mics, but it's more just having the space to have the lights, the producer, three different mics, seating. Room. Right. Yeah. And it not feeling cramped.
And it's funny because I was thinking we should go right into the sex thing today, because
just jump in.
Let's
there
go
you go.
Right into it. Like Salt and Pepper said, let's talk about sex.
Baby.
Let's do it. Because North Carolina recently, the restrictions now with having to be 18 years old, people are cracking up every weekend. I can hear little whispers when people are talking about, we go to watch some porn, and this woman pops up and she's all like professional, and she's
Trey
like,
DeVille,
what a way to kill your mood, you know what I mean? So basically it's, you have to prove that you're 18. You have
with
to, like,
facial recognition.
Facial recognition, which is
invasive. Let's call it what it is.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Very big brother there. Like,
I just couldn't believe it was even allowed. Like, there's such a invasion of your privacy to be able to, we were talking about before how there's kids that are identifying as whatever they are nowadays, and
cats
and cakes and lizards and whatever. But you have to be now you have to be 18 to watch porn. I was speaking to a friend of mine earlier and asking her about this, and she said, well, that's kind of how she learned how to have sex and how to do it.
Well, that's not good, though, either. Well, okay. I don't think that's good either.
Well, that's however you learn sometimes is like how you learn.
What you have is what you have.
And I kind of didn't even think about that, because from a younger person's point of view, to say, hey, that's kind of how I was like, learn how to do it. You know, I didn't really have a parent that I felt comfortable with talking about certain things, and but just the privacy alone be taken away like that over, you know, now it's like having to show your like your license and whatever else. But so what are they doing now to, so the other thing was a virtual, what was it?
VPNs.
VPN. So it's virtual. Yeah. So that's probably okay, saw
VPN just shot up through the roof in North Carolina, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course. I mean, so the question is, do you, where are the statistics that are saying that this is actually preventing harm? Because the thing that happens is you have these hardcore Christian groups, and let's not pretend that's not what's pushing these bills forward, right?
And some of them are just as guilty as problems as
most of them also consume. And we use the language of protecting the children because who doesn't want to protect the children? Of course, right? A few sparingly sick people.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
fall out of that.
Disgusting.
But I mean, most people do want to protect kids. So then it's like, oh, well, we can get everyone behind this. And we saw that because it was a bipartisan bill that did pass. Mm-hmm. The problem is they're not, everyone there is an idiot. I hope that's not true. They know a VPN is going to pass this. They have access to the same statistics that I have access to, which is 80% of underage people that watch their first piece of explicit content is not on an adult site. So you are banning adult sites in the hopes of, quote, protecting the kids, which are more tech savvy than obviously any of us are, right, congressmen. Most of them are watching it on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. So you banned a site that they're not even going on. Literally 80%. The statistic is widely available. So again, they have access to the same thing. So let's not pretend that's what it's about. And honestly, like, you can get up in arms about it from a free speech perspective, because like it or not, it is protected under the First Amendment. But I think with the speed of technological advancement, we have things like Web3, blockchain technology, it is going to be impossible to block. So you can hate it all that you want. It's not going to stop. It's not going to, you're not really, all you're doing is creating a mild inconvenience. And then the thing is who's responsible for data breaches? When you have people's IDs, facial recognition, are you continuing to track them as they're watching the content? You can say no, but how do I know that that's no? And then that we know that we're being spied on. Snowden did a great job at letting the people know. Somehow we just forgot. So you're there in an intimate moment. You are an adult. You proved that you're an adult, but that's now being recorded, stored on the cloud. And hey, if you want to ever do anything in the future, we now have something on you. So who do you sue for that? Who's keeping it safe? It's nonsense, honestly.
And there's also,
we
are adults and we should be allowed to watch pornography.
Without daddy government saying, let me give you a permission slip. That's insane.
And God knows what they're doing behind our backs already that we don't even know about.
Absolutely.
So it's a recent thing that's going on.
It's a huge invasion of privacy and personal freedom. And honestly, you can say that it's to protect the kids. It's obviously not. And I think you have to be really wary, because the thing is, when it comes to porn and any adult work, it's the canary in the coal mine. So if you allow certain infringements of freedom to be taken away from this group of people, because you know, they're sullied, they're lesser than whatever you want to say in your mind, I promise you that is going to escalate into other groups that are also considered problematic.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point where they're consuming this the first place, I was actually looking at one of your stories today, kind of talking about that, and that you got censored on Instagram for something that wasn't even bad.
For a lingerie photo. There are people that are posting fully nude.
Right.
And I don't want to I don't want
to prove my point that there's porn on Instagram.
Right, exactly.
But you have not been practicing doing films for a long time now. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So that part is like we were saying earlier, you were allowed to own up to things that you're doing at the time. And then later, if you're not, you've been far past that, because we talked about it last time you were on.
But the internet is forever.
But so you just really, so you haven't, just to clarify that, you're not doing porn or how am I supposed to say anymore? I don't even know what it's like. Is PC even a bad, good word?
No, but the thing is, so I'll get called a hypocrite because I still have a link on my alter egos page. It's not on my Candace page. It's nowhere on any of my Candace's page. But the point is that content's out there regardless. right?
Yes.
Nothing mm-hmm. I can do about it. I could become, anything shy of becoming a billionaire, I can't do anything about the content on right. there. I just, yeah. it would be insanely expensive and you would have to probably do some shady stuff to make sure it never sure. went back on the internet. Mm-hmm. So my options are I either continue to reap benefit from it, do good with that money, or I become a victim of this mega $1 billion mm-hmm. industry and I'm just another girl that got chewed and spit out. So mm-hmm. I mean, the choice to me is obvious. I'm going to take the money and I'm going to do good with it. So no, that doesn't make me a hypocrite. That makes me pragmatic.
It makes right. you intelligent.
Right. I'm a fucking businessman.
Yeah,
right.
exactly. Makes you damn stronger it. For it.
Yes. I know. And speaking of the whole, to have billions of dollars to be able to get your name taken off like Oprah or Tom Cruise or, you know, no offense, Tom, but whatever. There's been major rumors of him being homosexual for years and years and
rumors.
Years. I know, right?
Rumors.
So we all get it. But if you Google him, you can't, nothing comes up.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe now, right the second there might, but it's constantly
that
like.
That church is powerful.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to dog anybody out. That's not my idea and what I'm trying to do here. But like to make a point that people with that kind of money can make things go away. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be one of them. Please don't make me go away. I have a lot still to do. Right. but no, it's weird how you can Google certain things, certain celebrity names and see what comes up. And knowing damn well that they are what is out there. Because what is it? 50% of gossip, there's always some truth in some of all of it somewhere. So you don't just get accused of something out of the blue. There's something that led you there or some way that have led other people to believe that could have or could not have happened. But it's just weird with the internet with that kind of money because you get people even with cameras. There are cameras everywhere. Mm-hmm. So we can't get away with anything if we tried at this point. So mm-hmm. even with any business, like I have cameras in here and I always tell people like I'll get boyfriends or girlfriends or husbands or wives call me and be like, was my wife up there this weekend? I want to see the
no
cameras.
Way.
I'm like,
no,
fuck you. I'm like, those are,
no. that's
you
know, a toxic relationship.
You know what I mean?
Get out. That,
without
right?
a,
get
without
out.
A doubt, get out. But what I say is those are for me and the police.
Good
so
for you.
They are for me and the police. So those are, so if you want to like go through the police to see it, then you can do that because I have nothing to hide. Like I'm up here running around doing my thing. I'm not doing anything illegal. And so you got people that are not fully comfortable with their relationships. And mm-hmm. if something happened too, I want to be able to make sure that I'm not going to be the one, you know, that's going to be in trouble because a couple of years ago, there was a woman, she was up here. There was two guests of members that had came up as guests with two different members. Both of them wanted to go home, had husbands, wives, kids. When it was their time was up to go home, they'd had their fun. And the guests wanted to stay. Well, those two ended up starting to hit it off, the guy and the girl. And I didn't know them because they were guests of the members. So they were having fun, didn't think nothing of it. It was 9:30. It was 9:30 at night. So it was early. Mm-hmm. Miss Shirley's sitting up at the corner, had another guy sitting over there waiting to go to the bathroom. And he's looking at me like, pointing at me like, hey, what's going on in the bathroom? And, you know, you hear something. And I like, of course, I run over there. I'm banging on the door and I hear laughing. And I'm like, okay, that's enough.
Wrap it up.
So they come out and I'm like, okay, really inappropriate. Like, please leave. I made it a point to everybody that was sitting out here. So they saw that I was like, not just letting something like that happen.
Right. Yeah.
So Lord and behold, the next day I get a phone call. My wife was played with in the bathroom at your place. And I'm like, no I thought it was way. Somebody was playing a joke on me. I'm like, fuck you. Show your face. Meet me in the downstairs on the sidewalk. Cause this is not cool. Well, I obviously talked to a lawyer and they said that those kind of things, the lawyer told me, if you think about it like this, what if you own the mall and two people go in the bathroom and get raped or something happens? It's not the owner of the mall's fault. You can't be there all the time. Like you can't yeah. take the blame of something that could happen at any time, at any point, in any place. Ugh. So I actually was like, thank God for those cameras because I could see them. We ended up going back, watching the cameras, mm-hmm. and you could see they're all very flirty. They're very cute. And she is the one that actually points over there, like, go to the bathroom. And you could see him, like, doing like this. And so I'm like, okay, now who was, you know. So as soon as I told the girl, like, look, I got – this is all, you know, yeah. everything just
– figured out on
everybody,
your time.
Everybody shut it down. But it is. It's like you have to – you got to own up to your shit. You know, if you're going to go out and cheat on your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, don't come crying to me, asking me for my camera footage. It's not going
to
happen.
You know, and then that's the crazy thing to get into like the whole, everyone throwing stones at me online.
Because, no, I can't like, imagine what you do.
It's a lot, but they're like, oh, I'm a bad person because I was in this industry and I was married while I was in that industry. Mm-hmm. that couple that happened, they were, quote, monogamous.
Yeah.
So right. that's yeah. monogamy.
Yeah.
Okay. That has never happened with me and my husband. Right. Everything has ever always been above board since I've known him for 14 years.
Very
so
transparent, very
which
open.
One, which right. one would you rather have? I don't know. One that's solid, that you can talk to the person and be completely honest right. and trust that they're going to take
your
you.
That's your trust with him.
Right,
that's
exactly.
That's the two of your bond.
Exactly. Yeah.
So who else's business is
no
it?
No one's calling any bar, I assure you.
So yeah, it's just, it's nuts.
We saw that too. Like when I worked in jewelry with Chris years ago as well, we would get people call up and be like, I need my husband's purchase history of what he's purchased.
Hell
and
no.
I'm like, no, you're going to need a subpoena for that. Like you can deal with that on another
that's
time.
That's probably common in jewelry, I would imagine.
Oh yeah. When oh, I worked man. In jewelry, it was at least once a year. We would have like, oh, is he buying it for his girlfriend? Did he walk in with so-and-so? And I'm like,
I haven't even ever thought about
I don't
that
remember,
before.
But like, oh yeah.
A lot. Correlation.
Yeah.
So like, so if the dude's buying like jewelry for somebody else and the wife's like, what's up, wife? I want to see the credit card statement. Obviously he's buying the jewelry for somebody else.
Right.
Cause she ain't getting the jewelry. God, there's all kinds of fucked
oh,
up
yeah.
people out
crazy
there.
Crazy stuff.
God. So onward with the sex conversation. So, yeah, going in with pornography, usually it's a masturbation thing. People watch porn to get off quick. It's like we're all fine tuned with that. We're all adults. We understand what works out here. But like for the most part, there was, it shouldn't be taken from you. I don't think it feels like it's something that's something private, something personal. And if that's the way you want to do it, that's all you got time for. That's what you got. So to make this whole like idea of having to show your photo ID and all this is taken
kind
to another
of puritanical,
level.
Right? So it goes back to the Puritans where shame is such a huge part of their existence. So it think about it. You go to your site and now you get lectured about the legality of it. Yeah. Then you have to go into a VPN if you're going to do that. And if you're going to do it the quote legal way, you are now in an intimate moment, you probably, you know, ready to go. You have to then take a really uncomfortable photo of yourself, upload it. It's all.
You've already
penance.
Lost the mojo.
Right?
The,
yeah, right, it's yeah. a shame ritual.
Really?
It's the modern
shaming.
Shame. Yeah,
yes.
Shame. Like, shame.
Aren't
shame.
I allowed to like discover my own body here? Like,
absolutely touch. Not. You might go blind.
Right.
Just you're trying to protect you.
Look at
society.
It in the mirror. It doesn't count. You know?
I was actually thinking about the whole process when sports betting got legalized just a couple days ago.
Oh, did it?
Tell me about the moral like incongruency there.
Right.
How
yeah.
many lives oh. has gambling ruined?
Exactly.
Literally.
The gladiator whole thing. It's where like the whole paying these guys to fight for them to watch it. And the players that are getting paid all this super crazy amounts of money, the people that are putting together are getting paid quadruple, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So you might think this player is making $30 million for a 3-year contract. The people that are organizing are getting billions of dollars, you know, to organize that sort of the game itself.
And then calling it a nonprofit.
Of course.
So then they get the tax breaks. They get all the other things. Oh, God, don't even get me started on taxes. This is bullshit.
God. I have this meme I'm going to probably use for canceled this weekend. And it's this wolf that had a great kill. So this wolf is prancing away and it's got this fresh kill in its mouth. And then in out of nowhere comes this eagle and it steals the kill out of the mouth and it goes, taxes.
So true.
Oh, you finally think you're doing okay. And they're like, nope.
I did all the work.
Yep.
Yep.
And, you know, it's really getting to where in the bar business, that's what I sell. We don't sell a lot of merchandise. We don't sell food. You know, we have alcohol. And, you know, everything that just makes that one drink, you know, the mixers, the fruit, the garnish, the glass, the ice, the cocktail napkin, all the things that make that drink costs money. So, you know, it's not like people walk in and say, oh, you must be killing it. I'm like, yeah, we're killing it tonight, but we've been dead for a week. So it's like, it's what I'm trying to say is that, and then to finally have a good night, and then the POS system, that's another thing that's a huge thing that comes out, and then your sales tax on top. So when we buy a bottle of liquor from the LBD, it's almost taxed three times. If you think about it, when I pick it up, you pay the taxes on it. You sell it, you're paying sales tax again, and then it comes up again. So you're like paying for this one drink, I'm paying taxes almost three times on
and
that.
Just for selling it to someone across the bar, you're paying it about an extra $3 that we don't pay going to the ABC store. So it's even more expensive for you to buy.
So I need another bar, y'all. It's time for a second one. It's time for a second one. But my gosh, so I brought these little books here. I know.
Jesse came extremely prepared. He showed me before.
You know, I'm the newbie out of all of you. You guys have been doing this for a while.
So it's because we both have kids. That's why he's saying.
I wonder how that happened. Back to this again. No, so this is actually the gay man's Kama Sutra, but you know, I could interpret it for straight couples. Is that sound right? Yeah. With all these pronouns, I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm like, whatever.
That's another one.
Yeah. So. But you know, it's so funny because if you are interested in learning about different positions and what feels good to the body and you know, how to please your partner and make your partner happy. And I suggest this book. It's The Kama Sutra by Terry Sanderson. I know you like to read. So I don't know if the gay one's going to Candace is like...
I can put the puzzle pieces together and figure out which one's supposed
to be. And then it leads right into this one called 69 Positions of Joyful Sex.
I just bought... Oh. Have you seen the... it's 101... Nights of Epic Sex or Great Sex or something.
No,
I just bought that one.
I need to add that to the collection.
It was a birthday gift for the hubby.
Oh, it's fun. You know, sometimes it's like, you got to get this stuff. See, and that right there, a gift like that, that, you know, probably cost you not much to buy the book, was an experience on its own to please him in a happy way.
Books are incredible.
It didn't
gifts.
Do anything harmful to anyone. And it was a way to get him going without having, you know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah. You've got to invest that time. Like the longer you're with someone, the more creative
you
have to be.
Really some things so we've
got- You probably didn't need to show your ID to get that book either.
No, probably not.
Well, guess what, ladies? Your fantasy books are next. So if you think that this is just for your men, it's coming for
you. It's coming. So yeah, these are actually gifts from this one. I think he wrote his little message for me on the.
I love this one because it makes me think of like two Greek men, like back in the bathroom
thing I used to have.
Doesn't it? It's very Grecian.
Maybe he's like,
the you know, like one guy could be Plato. I don't know.
That's because you use your imagination.
Looks like he's feeding him grapes.
No, he's booping him.
Booping?
He's booping him with a cream.
Gotcha. What is booping?
Like a boop.
Oh, like boop.
On the nose.
Oh, like a nose boop. Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus.
There's an age gap in this photo.
Fucking like animals, part two. So, yeah, you know, it's all out there. The literature is there. This is all legal to buy. Barnes & Noble. I don't know if it was from this particular one.
They still have the magazines, like the dirty magazines and Barnes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And back to that whole thing. It's like, what happened to like old school people that still just want to like put their little VHS tapes in and see the, you know, old school way of sex? And
well, it's getting weird, just the invasion of privacy in general. So I don't know if you saw, but with the new Grand Theft Auto, so when you go to play
so scary.
You have to have your, and I'm going to say child, even though it's 18 and up to play the game, you have to have your, I would
it's
consider
so
that.
Real.
Yeah, you right, have to scan your face before a video game.
Really?
Isn't that weird?
That is crazy.
It almost feels like it's training kids how to murder and kill people a little
Grand
bit.
Grand Theft Auto?
Some of those video games that like, seem so real and you can create your own person, you know, with a gun or a weapon. And I mean, back to Mortal Kombat when we used to play that. I mean, it was like, it wasn't so, I don't know, so real.
Well, everything. Here in the West, violence is okay, but pleasure is not.
Right.
We all need pleasure. Pleasure is number one. We need it.
It should be.
God, it brings pure happiness, especially as a mature adult. Mm-hmm. I mean,
on that, I don't have a position on this, but I'm interested to hear both of your thoughts on it too. Do you believe that porn and masturbation is an addiction? I've heard that argument before, but I was
here's the thing though. It's not an opinion. So people will say my opinion.
It could be obsessive.
It's not an opinion. It's not in the DSM-5. If you talk to any serious neuroscientist, they will say, no, it does not meet the qualifications. Even a therapist, it does not meet the qualifications of addiction. Same with gambling, same with food.
It's obsessive over anything.
It's obsessive. It's avoidant. It's, procrastination. Those are kind of like the three main things that it gets coupled with. So it's not addiction. Does that matter? I think to an extent, yes. But if the reason that we are so quick to say addiction is because we're taking away personal accountability and responsibility from it.
You're blamed.
And
then, it's a blame.
Right. Yeah. It's like, it's a disease and I am not in control. That's bullshit.
So you are.
Right.
Oh, that drives me crazy.
You owe yourself and your family, I'm assuming, a better response than that. Right. And people are so quick to blame porn and say, get rid of it. That's the cause of my ailment. But if you look at someone and they always are blankly labeling the answer to every problem is the same thing, that's not a serious thinker. You are doing yourself a disservice and you're never going to actually fix the problem that's there if you're letting your ego and your insecurities say, okay, porn is the problem. There's something much deeper. And if it's not porn, it's going to be gambling. It's going to be drinking. It's going to be infidelity. It's going to be something else, right? So you take away the thing and something else is going to replace it, similar to a hydra. So do you want to fix the problem or do you want your ego to like have a little pat on the back? You won. And you have to ask yourself that. So I would challenge your question and say, it's not an opinion. It's a fact as it stands now. We don't know the brain.
Tyler,
so
it
could change
like,
in a minute.
Is that okay? Because I'm like trying to talk to you. I'm like
blinding now.
Well, you want to take
turn
a
it down.
Really?
Yeah.
And everybody out there, this is the stuff we're not going to edit. We're going to leave all of this stuff. So you can see what goes on behind the scenes in front of the camera. And I haven't.
People like it.
I don't know. Does it look fine? I'm like completely blind right now. And what you were saying about blacking out earlier is like the first couple podcasts I did, I would get up here and just, I'd get done and be like, what the fuck just happened? Yeah. Like, I don't even know. I told him that earlier. I was like, I literally have blacked. Like, I will remember this. I'm good. I'm like at number, like, this is like 12 or 13-ish. I'm in slow strides here.
That's how you gotta do it.
Slow strides.
What I've always told people who are starting podcasts
too. I'm
still
trying to get my lights from not blinking and looking at you.
It's better to start slow putting stuff out there as opposed to starting too fast and then slowing down, because people get used to that kind of continuity.
Momentum.
Yeah. So if you're only going like once a month, once every other month, and then you start getting into a stride and picking up, I think that's better off as opposed to doing the opposite.
And that was going back to what we were saying about like challenges we have. What are some of the challenges that you both have with your podcast, and what do you want to see yourself doing better and improving on?
First.
Good question. One of the challenges that I have personally is I want to change something every single time I walk into the studio. So just being more consistent and finding that process and sticking with it. I think I'll be able to be a lot more productive that way. I'm a perfectionist at heart, and I just like want to make sure like, oh no, that didn't look perfect that one time. So let me make sure I change this, or I'm going to change like this process, getting it onto the hosting platform or whatever. So that's the first thing that I want to fix. Just because then I'll be able to start marketing more and maybe start branching a little bit more outside of Southeast North Carolina. Yeah.
He's like, mine's just perfect. I have nothing to say.
Certainly not. Certainly not perfect. Mine is definitely consistency, but I've been challenged on that idea, and I constantly ask others to challenge themselves with, because it's so easy to beat yourself up and say, you know, I'm not doing three a week. I'm not doing even one every week, and it's not launching at the exact same time.
With mine.
No, I think that's all bullshit. And I think that there are no rules. I think that is number one. Anyone that tells you if you follow this recipe, you'll be successful is full of shit.
Yeah, right.
Podcast.
Well, they didn't even say that kind of,
Well, even if it was like the most successful podcast in the world and they're telling you definitively that there's a recipe, I would say that they're a liar, because podcasters, it's the wild, wild west of entertainment right now. And you can have someone for, so there's this company, it's called Pod something. They represent a whole bunch of channels, but there is one podcast on there where the man has zero social media presence, not a single account. His podcast is generating over $1 million a year in revenue. That doesn't make sense. There's another podcast there. So average CPM, I don't know if you guys are
familiar. You
think
sometimes they have their own money. Yeah. They're paying for themselves to make them
look
good.
Well, he was already independently wealthy. Okay. So what he
did, they're making
for
themselves
his,
look, oh, look, mine just got all this because I paid for it.
No, but that's
to be that
money,
way.
That's not... I don't like that either, though, because like money doesn't guarantee you success. Like anyone who's ever started
it,
exactly, just because you have it doesn't mean the thing that you invest in is going to be successful. So yes, he was independently wealthy and he went on a bunch of shows and he paid to go on a lot of those shows, and that did help build his brand. But still, like, he's breaking the rule of having a social media presence. There's this other channel and it's like these two or three women that host it. It's super small. It's in the world of podcasting. It doesn't even chart. They're doing 7 figures a year because their followers are just insanely loyal and they buy everything that's pushed. So you have a CPM, which is cost per thousand.
Yeah, okay.
So it's typically in like the 25 to 27 range. That's kind of average. Their CPM, even though they're a tiny show, is in the 40s.
Shoot. Wow.
So there are no rules. And you have guys like Dan Carlton who have hardcore history and he uploads whenever he wants for however he wants. So I think when it comes to consistency, you have to redefine that. And
it's
maybe
your own
with,
consistency.
Right. Like, right. Is the quality of the conversation the same? Is the length of the conversation the same? Is the topic, you know, it, right? Are those things consistent? And it, mm-hmm. we always just say consistency is time and delivery. And it's so much more than that. So if you're hitting the marks on everything else, I think that time can go fuck itself because we don't even know if that's real. Amen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good point too, because I mean, there's like YouTube and podcasts that I've listened to that they used to come out weekly and they were just so good and they work in, or they are consistent in the production of what they have that comes out that when they do come out with one once or twice a year,
you're
I'm
excited.
100% going to listen to it.
Yeah.
When maybe I was only listening to two of them a month as opposed to four.
Right.
So overdoing it and kind of not getting, not fulfilling your followers with what they
so
really
it's want. Basically like choose what to be consistent in. So right. consistency, yes, is important, but it does not necessarily mean every single Wednesday at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
That's very superficial.
Yeah, very network.
So the reason why consistency works for our podcast is more so for our own consistency.
Yes.
So like if I didn't upload something every single Wednesday, I probably wouldn't do it for years. Yeah. And that's a perfectionist in me. I'd be like, I missed that one. So I'm not going to do it again. And I like, I know that's something I need to get over,
gosh.
But like, all I know if I just place. Show
I'm
up
immediately a failure.
Right. It's like, damn it.
No.
Okay. This is another funny little question. I wanted to ask what y'all's opinion was about. So this penis enlargement situation. So I'm like seeing all these pills. You can go get surgeries. There's certain ways you could play with it to make it bigger. There's all these like penis and I think the maybe the phone is just listening to my thoughts now because
it does. You know,
it's just that's like true. Okay. So, what are your thoughts on penis enlargements? I mean, should men just be happy with what they got, or should they just go for the gold? And
I think it's all of those things are snake oil. I don't think that. I will say, okay, as the professional in the room. There are a couple things that work, but it comes at a grave cost that is not worth it. So there's these injections that people do. I don't know what the name is. They do work, but eventually what
it
ends
goes
up
away and sags.
It will break your penis. So then
what can happen? That can happen.
Well, not like not that can happen, but I mean like it. You'll no longer be able to have erection, so it will you'll have ED.
Kill me.
You'll have ED from the shots. So then the next step that people do is they actually get a pump of installed
pump
in your
inside
penis.
Inside of it,
oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay,
you become bionic.
Yeah.
So then there's the pump that goes into your balls, and then you pump your balls, and then it gets erect. But it's this
crazy.
Whole process. So then, is that what you want to do every time? Like you
probably
lose
not.
The moment.
Every
so
time you become yes, like numb to everything.
I can't imagine what it's like if you are not gifted or at least substantial, because that has to suck, right? I can't imagine. I think you have to get good at other things. I think you have to get really good at the art of seduction. There, Robert Greene has a great book
good
on it.
Head or whatever. You
well,
know.
Yeah, that's all good, but it's so it's everything before then, right? So if you've ever
foreplay.
Met like a master seducer beyond foreplay, it's like,
oh my god,
it's
how
like
fun.
before. So like think to me, I always think
that's
of Johnny
a major
Depp.
Fluffer,
like, right? You see Johnny Depp, and like everything about him oozes seduction. Like he is a predator, and you are his prey. And there's nothing you can do. About
ooh,
it and it doesn't matter what's happening south of his belt buckle
yeah.
It's like everything else is so delicious that doesn't matter. So if you are not in a great position, I would say skip all of the bogus, because it's probably going to cause more harm than good.
Exactly.
And just like
run.
Master the art of seduction.
Gosh,
that's
one of the things
advice.
We like to do on our podcast is like try to have all for the clips, right? It's like the three things that you can do to do X better. So what would you say is the three tips that someone could be a better at seduction?
Lover? Or
yeah, seduction. Better lover, seducer.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing is like you have to channel that energy of being the predator. So what is the mm-hmm. predator, right? You walk into a room and you own it. It is like sheer confidence as a man. it doesn't matter who's around you, who's got more money, who's taller, who whatever.
It does not matter.
Like, you are there and you own it. Yes. And it is eye contact. Yeah. Like Johnny Depp in all of his movies, just look at his eyes. Oh. It just puddle. Gosh. You turn into a puddle because it's this mix between, like, if you think about the most capable predators on the planet, you don't know you're about to be devoured, right? They're intoxicating. They lure you in. Uh-huh. And that's what it is. So it's not this hardness that makes someone like uncomfortable and skittish and kind of want to stay away. It's this alluring. And so you have to be able to still have that softness about you. I think that's important. Be more interested than interesting is the number one thing. So don't be egocentric. It's be very focused on whoever it is that you're trying to like lure into your traps.
Right.
How many times have you like met someone before you were married? I will always be forever single. But who have you ever met I don't mind it. I love it. I'm completely comfortable with that. But have you ever, when you've met eye contact with somebody, said, we are going to fuck. You know, you've never met this person. You don't know who they are. You had this in my life, I would say probably like as small as like maybe two or three times. And I'm 43 years old. So like when you look to somebody, I'll never forget the first time. I think I was like 19 or 20. And I was on this pier and I saw this guy and like, we looked at each other. And I was like, bam. And I didn't even know nothing about him. I didn't know. And it went there. So I was like, okay, like this is a thing. Like you can have instant sexual connection and that's all I wanted. And then be gone. You know, that's all. And that was like fulfilled somewhat of a fantasy. Maybe three times, maybe a few more. But
how many times for you?
I don't even know. Like it's
he definitely not many. Trouble. His wife yeah, will kick
his like, in trouble. No,
she's probably listening. She's like, ooh, why would we use this?
Yeah.
But honestly, like we've been together for so long. I mean, we met when I was 19.
Okay,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So not many times to be before that anyway.
Gosh, I will never forget that first time I did. He was like, I call him my Richard Gere because he was like that kind of hot, sexy,
Richard Gere.
Salt and peppery, older. And I was 19. Yep. So there we go to the age situation. I used to be into older back then for me when I was 19, older was 40, 45.
I still liked older when I was young. Yeah. I've always liked older.
And now I'm that age and I kind of like my own age. Like, so it's like,
I like older and older and older. I know. I still love it.
I
Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. It's there. It's,
I've always like, wondered if there was like a limit as you got older.
No. Well, Sean Connery.
When I'm 80, I don't want like a 105-year-old man.
Sean Connery into his probably 70s.
He's right behind us.
Yeah. I thought he's timeless.
I got the sign. Remember that was the thing? So we put that there because... you and I talked on the podcast. You're like, you need a sign. Mm-hmm. It's not one of those pink fancy ones, but we have a sign there. You're like, you need a sign. That was one of the things you said. I asked you, what do you think I needed?
So anyone who's listening to the podcast now, make sure you go back and listen to the first one.
Yeah. Yes. But, well, I have one more, a funny little thing to ask y'all about too. And so they have all this rejuvenation. There's vaginal rejuvenation. There's anal rejuvenation. There's ball sack lifts. There's
you did a lot of research for this.
I dated a guy. He was a doctor. He was obsessed with my feet. I'm not even gonna say your name because you'll probably listen to this at some point, and you'll know who you are. But this was in Los Angeles, a long time ago. But his sister did the vaginal rejuvenation. So like you can go back there if you're not comfortable with what you got. Mm-hmm. There's a way to go in there. And there was a joke by, not Jane Fonda. What's the other one? Joan Rivers. She's so fucking funny.
Joan Rivers.
I'd like live for her. Like yeah, she says whatever the fuck she wants.
Anything.
And does not care one bit.
Yep.
That's what I love about her the most is because like she really could, and she could get away with it. She could say.
Cause it was authentic.
It was.
Yeah.
She tied her jokes together like a true comic. She did it in a way where it just flowed so effortlessly. Mm-hmm. And so, but she was talking about how like, she's like, oh, you know, she's like, when I get up in the morning, this is how I vacuum. And she's like kicking like her boobs are like, she's kicking her tits out of the way. And she's like, oh, well, don't say nothing about that. Cause men, y'all deal with the same shit you sit on the toilet and your balls hit the damn toilet bowl water. And she's like, oh my God. So yeah, the ball lift. I can't even like go there. Like, what?
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's a thing.
Me either. Yeah.
They lift them, they can pull them up, and you know, you just got to keep your shit in check, I guess.
Why not?
I mean,
why not?
If it makes them from hitting the
wall. I'm all for scientific evolution, right? So involvement.
Nadia, would you mind making us one of those famous penthouse shots? And you don't have to shoot them. You can sip them if you want. But it's something we do all the time. And I think we're all getting low on our drinks. Anyway, so y'all have anything else you want to, is there something that's been on your mind you want to talk about?
Something completely random that leading up to it, I was like, let me check, catch up on everyone's podcast and everything too. But something else you posted was that I wasn't sure what you were doing is, are you starting a school or are you starting?
So you are starting a school. I didn't know if you were homeschooling your boys.
Hold on, I'm a knock on wood. Promising that I should get approved, but yeah, I'm starting a not starting the franchise, I'm opening a franchise.
So how compared to like a Montessori situation?
So it's very project-based and Socratic-based. So you don't have teachers. Instead, you have what are called guides. And it's not what to think, but how to think. So a lot of critical thinking. Okay. They have a lot of radical ideas that involved immense participation. For example, they did this experiment with the students, and they know it's an experiment, so you're not like messing with them too much, but you have like this ethos of the rules of the school, the bylaws of the school.
So you have the rules, you still have to obey either way.
To a point, right? But it is student led. So as long as you get your stuff done is what you get done, but a lot of freedom. And what happened is the head of school would come in and he's like, well, instead of having lunch whenever you want, we're only having lunch from 12 to 1. Mm. The students are like, okay. Next day he comes in. This section of the library is restricted. You can't go in there anymore. And they're like, okay, that's fine. Well, now you have to sit at your desks for 45 minute sections. And they would go on and on and on. And eventually this five-year-old stood up and he said, this is not what we stand for. This is not our school.
Wow.
And he stood up for freedom. And the lesson was the slow encroachments of government, which is kind of how we started this conversation. Right. But it's really teaching them from like experiential learning versus textbooks. And that's so much more powerful.
Yeah.
So I think we've gotten into this place where the public schools have been failing us. I don't think that there's anyone who's really excited about their public school unless they're in a very rich part of town and they're fortunate to be in a specific district.
It's almost
district.
Like a private school at that point.
Right. Because it's hard. You can't even get a house to get in that district. Exactly. Like, right. If you're in California,
fighting over, like, can I use this address? Like,
exactly.
When we lived in Lamphall, like, people would literally, I've had a couple people ask me, can I use your
address?
That
school is a problem. I'm telling you, it's rated a 9 out of 10. I have seen those kids and they are monsters. Yeah. I've seen them on the playground in Lamphall and my son's playing and they'll come around and this one kid's, and he's in, oh man, what grade is he in? Because it's elementary school.
Like third or fourth grade.
I think he's in third grade. And he's like, suck my balls to this other kid. And I'm like, whoa, where are your fucking parents?
Yes.
No parents. You want to know what they had? They had 21-year-old nannies that are Snapchatting instead of watching their kids.
Oh my God,
it is a disaster.
That's
your highly rated public school.
Yes.
Then you have your private school and your choices are Catholic or granola.
Right.
That's it.
And they're
heaven forbid that you don't fall in line with a certain political agenda, then now you are not included in this whole diversity movement. Forget about you, because we don't care about diversity of thought. And everyone tells me, well, there's no perfect solution, so you just have to pick Candace. And to that I say, I've never followed rules. And you want to put me in a box, I will burn that fucking box. So what did I do is I started researching other schools that I really appreciate. And I found someone who's in total alignment with the way that I see the world and how you should cultivate children. And I apply this month and I'll find out if I get approved. Yeah.
Sweet. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
With that.
So I saw that. And I was like, did she say what I think she said? And I've listened to a ton of your podcast, so I know we think very similarly. And I was like, if she starts a school, like, I'm signing up. Because like I know where
we have
your head's
a list
at.
Already, and then we already have like at least 15 families that they're like, if you have a, which is crazy. So the founder of the school, when he started, he only had 6 kids, not families, 6 kids ready to start the school. And now he's got a high school. He'll have over 50 schools. It's the franchise that we're doing. He'll have over 50 this year, and next year it'll be over 100. So it starts small and it just exponentially grows because there's such a need for it, because everyone thinks that you live in this bubble. It's so funny.
Higher learning. You're taking it to a really higher level.
For sure. I want to go to a high school.
I love that.
Yeah. I want to go to a high school because these people live in this ideological bubble where everyone's confirming their worldview and it's not ever getting wrestled with or challenged. Mm-hmm. And so they say something that's absolutely crazy and they don't know how it sounds. They don't know that it sounds absolutely crazy. So when I go to school and I'm doing these parent mingles, I'm like, hey, what do you think? What do you think? And I'm like getting phone numbers because there's a lot of us
thinking outside the box of this norm. Right. That's just disastrous. This norm is a disaster.
I want a strong leader. That's who I'm trying to raise, right? I'm not trying to raise someone who thinks it's okay to sit in a cubicle. Yeah. I mean, we're all entrepreneurs. We're all creatives here. So I think we're in alignment with that. It's like, I'm not going to spend my most valuable asset, which is my time and my life energy, and give that to someone who's maximizing it and their profit share. That doesn't make sense to me. So I want to create a leader, a disruptor, and that's not within any system that I've seen so far, except for this one. So hopefully, but yeah, we'd be glad to have you.
That's awesome.
So you've already got, now you got 7.
There we go.
The one good thing about North Carolina too, is they are very advanced when it comes to school choice. So I'm sure that that'll help out a lot too. Mm-hmm. So
there's a lot of funding options for franchises. Right. Yeah. So,
yeah. We'll it's crazy because the Montessori schools, like my friend Tina, she's a Montessori school teacher and she loves what she does. I mean, she really is like, she takes a big pride in it and I'm really proud of her. She's from Southport, her mom and provision company, Maria. And so Tina's down in Miami, but she believes in it. It's what she just, it's her passion. And so, it's like, she has a lot more one-on-one time with the children.
But it's still super woke. There's very few Montessori programs that are not. And the thing is, if you want to be woke and you want to raise your family that way, that is not my business. Oof. It's not my business. You know, again, freedom maximalist. Like, I'm not going to be a hypocrite on that. Yep. However,
do you kind of, yes.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But don't affect me, baby. Don't affect me or mine.
Yeah, don't ruin what I'm trying to do because you don't believe in that.
So if you truly believe in diversity, diversity of thought should be number one.
Yeah.
Should be the number one
priority.
It's the opposite
of what they're trying to put out there. It almost sounds like.
Because if you have every color of the rainbow and you all think the same, is that truly diversity? No.
No.
You're meeting a quota.
I like to have conversations with people who don't agree with the same exact thing I do because it helps me learn things in a different retrospect. I mean, I'm learning, it's for everybody to believe in the exact same thing you believe in is crazy to think
and
that.
And so dull.
It is. Right, and what kind of life is that going to be that you all, I mean, whether it's religion or if it's especially politics, oh my God, we're all there right now with all that. And it's like, just because you don't agree with this, that, or the other thing, I'm friends with Laura Trump, her whole situation. And it's crazy because I don't have a problem with disagreeing with a friend of mine. And we can still be friends after that conversation. It doesn't mean we're going to have a knockdown drag out because I don't believe in the same thing you believe in. And so,
It goes back to respect too. I mean, just having that relationship to have the respect with just any human being that's out there. And then too, without having disagreement, there's no way for advancement because there's no way to kind of level up on any side. If there's no disagreement, if there's no friction, you can't go above it.
And you can't learn anything. I mean, you're not taking yourself to another place where you can take in consideration for somebody else's beliefs.
Is that something too, that the school kind of like fosters, is just kind of disagreement amongst the children and kind of let them figure it out.
Yeah. So let them have their own mind.
Right. It's very minimal intervention. It's really trying to teach them the self-confidence and like that real intrinsic belief that I'm capable that so many of us don't. And even just speaking for myself, it's when I was thinking about school and the lack of options and what can I possibly do, I fundamentally felt incapable. Like, I'm not.
You don't like either one. You're like, private or public is bullshit.
Well, that, but then like, who am I to open a school? I can't do that. And it's like, whoa, I came from the public system and I have that deep disbelief.
I got
that is good. What this is the end product of it. So it takes a lot of personal development to say, I can fucking do this.
Yeah.
You can take a little bit of everything you've learned from both sides, and you know the private level, you know the public level. Like I was just said, like the whole street smart thing. I think I went to a public school. You know, I didn't really put up with anything, and to be as gay as I was in a Brunswick County school system, you know, I really didn't take no shit. And any of my friends can say that today. I didn't really get bullied too much. If anything, I was probably more the aggressor. I mean, because I didn't take no shit from nobody. And yeah. I felt like because I was this gay, feminine boy, that being picked on was supposed to be this cowardly, oh, I'm a victim. Oh, but then I was the one that, you know, beat the shit out of a guy was with a broom on the school bus for calling me a dick sucker. You know, and so then after that happened, nobody really fucked with me after that. You know, exactly. It was like I still made straight A's. You know, I still did all the things I was supposed to, but I did stand up for myself. And my parents were like, that's kind of where it all started. Was like I'd come home, be all upset, XYZ's picking on me, blah blah blah. And my dad was like, don't be a pussy. Like get out there and fucking like defend yourself. You know, don't come back home crying to me because I'm going to whoop your ass if I keep hearing about this. So what did I do? I got scared. I was like, oh hell. And this
I'd rather fight that kid than
deal with my dad. So like it happened and it got on the bus and he made his little comments and it just hit that nerve. And I went to the, I knew where that bus driver kept that broom and I marched my happy ass right to the back. And Josh was like, go, go, go. Kind of instigating a bad situation. Sorry, parents, but yes, this did happen. And I beat the shit out of him with that broom until they had to pull the bus over. And, you know, back then when you got in trouble, they'd put you against the wall. So it was like the form of shame. So like, yes, I was the aggressor. But I'm telling you what, nobody ever fucked with me in school ever again. Like, I mean, they knew that I was not going to take no shit. And so, but now if it has to get to that point, there's a problem too. So, but the school system, I didn't live in a time where we had, you know, wands, making sure you don't have guns. And, and literally when Sandy Hook happened, I lived in Studio City with my friend Carrie at the time. This was a long, long time ago. And I remember watching on the news, I'm getting chills right now. And this was happening. And it was like, oh my God, like this is really happening. There's like kids going in their own schools and shooting them up because they have whatever problems they have going on. But, you know, that didn't happen. But I couldn't imagine having, you have one.
Two.
You have two. I mean, every day when you say, you know, all right, have a good day at school. I mean, it's just so scary to imagine what could happen, you know, in those horrible situations. Now they're making movies about it and you watch them, the shows,
I think horrifying. Is pretty irresponsible.
Right.
I think it.
Oh, the child. Movies? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, then, you put it out there like they do.
It's, yeah, and then glorifies the shooter, it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
So making them like name this, and the recognition that everything that they wanted.
They should stop.
Exactly.
They should stop putting the person's name, their face, because that's what these sickos want. Is they want to have immortality.
It keeps right. going.
They keep saying, why are they all the
meaningless?
They don't put that person on television because they want that 1 minute of fame. Is what they want.
They keep asking, why do we keep having school shootings? Well, you keep putting him on the fucking TV.
Glorifying it in a sense, like, oh, look at this guy, because he's making national, if not international, news in half an hour of killing, you know, their schoolmates and teachers and now some of the. I mean, I'm watching some of these things now with the teachers that with the transgender and stuff. It's like some of the teachers are pushing that and it's like, okay, like let the parents deal with that at home. Like it's not for the teachers there to educate, not to like,
how do they think they're qualified?
Right.
Did you go to school? Did you go to medical school? Do you have like your PsyD or your PsychD or your PhD in psychology and gender studies? Like how exactly are you qualified? And then they're like, well, we don't want to tell the parents because we think they're going to get abused. Well, then that means you're also not doing your job because if you think that, you actually have to report that. So let's not pretend that you think that's a reality. You have a sick agenda and you're getting your validation from a child because you're so incomplete as an adult. Oof, it's sick.
I don't even have kids. And
oh, I'm a mama bear. I will fucking maul you.
It's hard for me to like
maul you
to even have an opinion because I want to be able to talk to you guys about this because I don't have kids and just to understand I obviously side with what you're saying because I don't agree with all that and I think it's not right.
Can you give your kid a tattoo? You can go take him to get a tattoo.
Exactly.
You get guess what? You can get laser removal for that tattoo. It's not as permanent. Why?
Because you're not 18.
Why?
Because
why does 18 matter for a tattoo?
It shouldn't. I mean, you have
I think it should.
I would say, yeah, there is but a like,
you're
line.
An idiot. And even at 18, you're probably an idiot, but you're less of you're an idiot than you were at 17, 16, 15, right. 14, 13, and so on. And it's even that is not permanent. These other things are permanent.
All right, stamped mm-hmm. in your brain. Yeah.
Not even that. Did you know you lose your ability to have an erection or a climax? You will never have an orgasm again.
Right.
Oh, God, don't tell me that. I'll jump off this building.
Brain right cancer, now. Infertility. It is irreversible damage. Mm-hmm. Full stop. So
without thousands of dollars worth
I'm not
going
to let my kid go get a tattoo. I'm certainly not doing anything that's irreversible.
Right. Yes.
Why are we? Are you going to let your 12-year-old go get double D boobs? Yes or no?
That sounds insane.
Then why can they cut them off? Yeah. Let's just have the same rules across the board.
It seems like we're getting really dark in here. Sorry, the sun went down.
No, you're fine. But it's just like no one wants government intervention when it comes to their children. Especially myself.
But there's a line, right?
A line that is considered abuse. So if you don't let your kid go get a BBL at 12, why can they do something else? Let's just have the same rules across the board that make sense.
I don't know if this is getting too
dark. If you're 18, if you're an adult and you get cleared, that's none of my business.
Exactly.
I literally don't care. I'm not going to look at you any differently. I'm not going to treat you any differently. It is your life to live. When it comes to children, backup.
Right.
Especially before backup. 18, because right now the government says you're basically responsible for those boys until they are 18. So you kind of have to make the decisions until that point. So after that point, if they want to go get tattoos and get become transgender, that's on them. But up until then, but don't say you got to be 18 to make those decisions and then take it away and let them do other things that don't make sense. You know, like reversing your gender. I mean, that's just insanity for a 12-year-old to decide if they want implants or not. That just sounds, or even Botox. I mean, they're seeing these TikToks, they're seeing the memes, and they're picking up on things so much more faster than ever. I mean, kids with their tablets, I mean, they're taking in so much information by like, I mean, it took us forever to learn storybooks and, you know, watch movies and even just listen to our parents over a course of that long, 18 years to really figure it out. But now they're like 12, 13 years old and they think they've got the mind almost of an 18, 9. They think they have one. They haven't even developed yet completely. So
how old are your kids?
3.5 and 2.
Oh, we're super close. Yeah. So I have 1.5 and 4.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So just on both sides.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. So what are your feelings on technology? And what are they allowed to use and not use as they get older?
Like tablets and...
Yeah.
And even phones. My four-year-old, there are kids in his class with phones.
No way. I swear.
It's so crazy.
I swear.
It's not
a smartphone. It's almost like a step.
It's like,
here, take this. Lazy parenting.
There you go. And it creates the addiction already of having that.
You see when you pull them away, you've seen like some of the memes or the TikToks.
Oh no, the kid keeps going
They
like
flip
that.
Out. Oh. They like flip, like lose their shit. Look, I'm up here a lot of times. I lose my phone. It's loud. I get pissed because people are trying to get up here or I'm actually need it to function for the business. Right. I'm not like, I love going a couple of days when I'm at home with the dog and where I don't need to man the door and make sure members are getting in and people aren't left outside. So at some points I need the phone because it's part of the
daily operations.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But for like, you know, you see these kids that are just, I mean, I see my nephews and, you know, my brother and his wife are really good about limiting the time and they're allowed there so much time to play and scroll. But you see them and they're just fling, 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 fling. Mm-hmm. And they're like, it's one thing after the other. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, how are you even processing all that information to recognize what that is to go to the next thing?
Well, I'll give you a real life example with my 3.5-year-old. So we're kind of like, he's young. He's not getting addicted to this yet. We're making excuses for ourselves is exactly what we were doing. And we noticed he was kind of acting up a little bit more. Nothing was really keeping his attention. And I'm like, you know what? The only thing that makes sense to this, because we're very holistic, like food is super natural. Clean. Yeah, because he has really bad eczema. So he has to eat clean or he gets really bad eczema. Mm-hmm. So I was like, the only thing that could possibly be happening because there's no dye or anything in his foods, it's this damn TV. So we completely took it out and limited it a lot. Completely different human being within a week.
Wow.
And just that within a week, I can only imagine how it is for kids that are addicted to it all the time, even starting at 3 years old or probably even sooner.
Sooner, yeah.
So I assume your kids are probably very away from technology as well.
It's consciously integrated.
Sure.
So
yeah.
I think that there's people, especially within the Montessori schools and that are very anti-technology. I think that's a mistake. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable. Our kids will be living in an augmented reality.
Ugh.
It's inevitable. It's inevitable.
Right. And if you want to tell Brad to step, let people up now if you want and look up the lights a little bit more so we can see each other.
It's this beast that's going to, it's inevitable essentially. So you want your kids to be able to thrive and survive in the future. And that is to be capable. You want them to be capable. So how do you install that in reasonable doses? And it's going to be independent. You have to be able to monitor your kid, make sure that it's not having adverse effects on their behavior, their attention span. And the way that we do it, and it's going to sound crazy, and I'm sure some people are going to think I'm full of shit, and I'm not. We have tried to really instill to him a lot of body conscientiousness. Mm-hmm. So how does this food make you feel?
Right.
How does watching so much of this screen make you feel?
Well, as soon as the floodgates open.
So that he can really understand cause and effect in his own body. So what he'll do, and this, we don't restrict him. Like, we keep everything in the house as a yes, because that's very Montessori. You don't want to say, oh, you can't have that fruit roll-up. Just don't have the fucking fruit roll-ups, he'll go to parties and they'll have the cakes. And he's like, I don't want it. He calls it sugar brain. He goes, I don't want sugar brain. I don't like how I feel. And I'm like, holy cow, there's adults that can't do that. He does that with screens. He'll watch it for a little bit of time. And obviously it's monitored. Like, he doesn't have free access to the internet. That would make me a terrible mother. but it's monitored and he'll watch it for a small period of time. He's like, I don't want to have crazy brains. So I'm turning it off, and then he'll go outside and play all on his own. And he's four. God. He's four and he has that connection to his somatic system. That's incredible.
Most adults can't do that.
Exactly.
Who taught him that? You did.
For sure.
Right.
But he's also has the awareness to be able to gauge it. So it's not to, I don't believe in abstinence. Don't take it away. Teach them how to deal with
control
the thing.
Control it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Master it.
You're going to get some, you're going to get these urges and you're going to get these things that you want to, you want to do, and you have to learn how to maintain it, learn boundaries and know the difference. And it's okay to masturbate, but don't do it 500 times a day or a week or whatever.
Yeah.
Just knowing your boundaries and what's healthy.
Frivolity is great.
Yeah.
Leisure is great. Pleasure is great. Even in a non-sexual way, pleasure is great.
Yes.
You are allowed to be happy and enjoy yourself. We have this very puritanical Western view that you have to suffer and work, and that is life. And I say bullshit. It is meant to be enjoyed. It is play.
It's so short. We never know how long we
have. And it's not an absence of responsibility. It's the contrary.
To life.
Oh,
that was fun.
Cheers.
Yes,
I want to
get
yourself. Oh, no.
You don't have to slam it, but I am.
Sure.
Oh, God.
Back to my 69 positions book. I'll see that later. But no, I really did. The goal today was to bring three podcasters together that
the end.
Have their, that's the bite at the end.
Yeah.
But Brad, feel free to let people come up. Just tell them not to interrupt if we're still talking.
Well, I do have my last question.
Yes, yes. Oh, good. Please, please.
All of mine. If you were to tell your younger self one thing, what would it be? I already asked Jesse on his podcast.
Oh, did you?
I'm scared. Yeah.
Mine is that it is going to end up so much more magical and beautiful than you could imagine, and not to worry and enjoy the ride and to trust yourself and to trust God and to really not think about what other people have to say and really don't worry about all of the outside noise, because so many of those people that were even main characters at some point in your life, they fall out. Think about high school. And like for me, I was super shy and it was debilitating. I got picked on all of the time. I didn't have a ton of friends.
See, I would have had your back.
I know. I wish I knew you back then. I needed someone to kind of like pump me up a little bit. And it's none of this
matters.
But
now you're thriving and none of that shit matters.
Exactly.
You're
like,
look at me, none
of these people matter, right? No. You will find your people, you will find your family, you will find your purpose, and just like focus on that and enjoy it. And in those moments of utter despair, it is like, it is really for you. it's for you. And you might not know at the time, it might feel devastating and like that is as good as it's going to get. And your world is falling apart, but it is for you. It is for a very important reason and you are going to make it through it.
Be brave.
I love it.
Courageous, be brave. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him earlier, the thing I love about you the most is you're so in control of like your self-happiness and your self-awareness and you're taking what you have and using it as a catapult or catalyst to something really good. Mm-hmm. So I'm proud of you. And I'm proud of you. And it's been so nice to get to know you more, Tyler.
Yeah, you as well.
It was so nice meeting you.
Yeah, you too. I've been listening to your podcast for years, so it's nice to actually
see you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Candace, you got to ask us something. You know, like, what's, give us something to.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
Get the feathers ruffled a little.
Get the feathers ruffled a little bit. Okay.
I know I have to just not edit shit anymore. That's what I'm doing. It's like, y'all going to get all the raw shit from now on. You're just going to get it.
It'll make your editor happy too.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. Tyler would be pleased to hear that.
So I guess because you both have your own show and it's hyper local, which I actually feel is a lot, it can be a lot more debilitating and intimate and scary than if you don't. Right. Because it's like
if
user whatever has feedback, it doesn't really matter as much. Yeah. But if it's someone that goes to your kid's school or it's someone that comes to your establishment, that feels more important and personal. So how, knowing that someone that you know is listening to your guys' show, how do you show up authentically and not self-censor?
I think that's how I show up every day anyway.
Good.
Like, people know my opinions on thing. I never shy away from it. So if I say it on the podcast, I probably said it to your face before anyway. So either you listen to me in real life or you're not listening to my podcast is probably how it's going. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the real reason why I started the podcast is, one, I always wanted to, but two is I wanted to meet more people in the area and know who they truly are. And so that's just a good way of kind of getting out in front of more people and understanding what the need is of the community. So just having that authentic front that like, hey, I'm here for you first, mm-hmm. no matter what my opinions may be, like I'll still give you the shirt off of my back, even if we disagree. So like, amen. And I get a lot of stuff that comes in. They're like, oh, why'd you have this person on or why, like whatever. And they're people I know really well because I see them every other day. And I'm like, because I told you on the, go listen to the very first pilot episode that we sent out. We're going to talk to everyone and anyone. Diversity, we're going to talk about anything. And I'm not going to not do the podcast unless we just completely like butt heads or something. That's like
you said, you definitely have had some situations where it was before you're like, okay, this person doesn't, we're not on the same mm-hmm. page at all. And you don't
like, if you're not going
to
be like reasonable.
Yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm more than happy to have disagreements, but if you're not going to be reasonable and if you're just coming on to
have
like,
a one-sided opinion.
Exactly. If you're coming on here to use my platform for you just to bully someone else, like that's not happening.
Mm-hmm. Ray, Jesse.
So I think I agree with a lot with what Tyler said. I think I feel the same way. I need to convey what I have off camera, on camera, mm-hmm. because off camera, you all know me outside of here. I'm very outspoken. I'm very opinionated. I'm, you know, I don't take no shit from a lot of people. I did this too because I wanted, one, I wanted to like utilize the space more. It's a beautiful space.
Yeah.
Yes, I have the private club. It's a lot of, it's mostly my friends and friends of my friends. I've said that 1,000 times. But, you know, I think just being able to let people really, to bring on people that might have a different opinion to really see them for not who, what they see on social media, but what they can see actually in person or, you know, on camera. I'm just going to keep rolling with it and see what happens. And if I can keep having you back and have you back again, that's important to me. Cause like you said, we could build from our last conversations and we're allowed to evolve. We're allowed to change. We're allowed to have different opinions down the road. And I want to make sure that people are getting the right, seeing the right lens and the best picture of me they can possible. I mean,
so, and then a follow-up question is, with all of the change and development that you guys both see happening locally, mm-hmm. what are your general opinions about it? So I guess to preface it with my own, it's I went to college in Myrtle Beach, so Coastal Carolina University, and Myrtle Beach is very, it's redneck Riviera,
I love Myrtle
right,
Beach,
baby?
Though.
Do you want to live there? Do you want to see a giant lobster while you're driving down the street? I don't. You know what I'm saying? And every restaurant is a buffet.
They have they have a cool gay bar pulse. They do karaoke on Sundays.
Sure. It's kind of fun. Like, it's basically like the entire town is Dave and Buster's, essentially. Yes. Yeah. So
there's like one nice restaurant. There's a Prime.
Right. Yeah, that's
Prime.
It.
That's the only one.
That's it.
And I just found out like a year ago, because I would go down there for Easter. I know this sounds crazy, Easter Sunday. My buddy and I would go down there. That's a whole other story, but we would go down there and it's so fun because you go to a place where you really don't know anybody. Some people might know you for whatever reasons through a friend of a friend, but you get to go somewhere and nobody cares how anybody looks, how anybody acts. They're all kind of free spirit. I mean, they get up there. They're the worst singers you've ever heard in your life. And everybody's they're smoking cigarettes inside. They're burning cigarettes down and ashtrays in there. They're like drinking super. They have hot dogs for sale at like 1 o'clock in the morning inside. You're like, where am I? Like, that is Myrtle Beach. So
yes. Myrtle Beach.
I appreciate Myrtle Beach for what it is.
But do you want Wilmington to become Myrtle Beach?
No.
Do you think we're on our way to becoming Myrtle Beach?
No.
You don't?
No, I hope not.
What are your opinions?
God, no.
I think they're starting to slowly move that way, but I think it can't be. How just so, because
though? Please, God, no.
Just because it's so much smaller.
Yes and no. So we are getting we're getting a Dave and Buster's, right. Which is insane
is
in Mayfair.
Oh no.
Yeah. I know.
Oh no. And they wanted that to be the upper echelon.
Well, yeah, good luck with that now.
Exactly, not anymore.
Nonsensical.
Oh, no.
First of all, nothing big chain has ever worked here. It doesn't.
No, yeah.
Like Wilmington, that's what we like pride ourselves in, is the individual like going against the industry, right?
Well, we still don't have a Prada, a Gucci, a Fendi, a Dolce.
I don't
Gabbana.
Want it.
I mean, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, I bet you
it comes soon with the new.
I'm not buying $12,000 Hermes belts. I mean, I don't.
It's stupid.
The corner of Oleander and Military, where they're putting that brand new shopping center, I bet you a lot of that goes in, and I'm not happy about
What's going to happen,
well,
though? Because
on top of that, we have an indoor skydiving.
What? Where is. Okay.
That's
I saw
on
that.
Eastwood.
That's like near Autumn Hall.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay, right where I used to live.
Right next to my office.
So that's another step closer to Myrtle Beach. No, it's tourist attractions. So when you take a town and you decide you want its main industry to be tourism, you are fucking the locals.
You're fucking it up. Major.
They are not going to be able to afford to live here anymore.
As
you're also bringing in drugs.
Is like almost $2,000 a month.
You're bringing in crime. You're bringing in young party kids. Like, what do you really want this town to be? And the thing that really pisses me off is, you have this gorgeous skyline,
yes.
Right? You can drive around most of Wilmington, and it
bridge,
is so lush right. and
it is
so green.
Historic
and you've got
and
the
pretty.
Marsh, and it is stunning. It's out of a picture book.
Yes.
Then you go to Mayfair, and now all of a sudden that skyline has now been broken by an elevator shaft.
What is that? They're building a hotel.
It's going to be a fucking hotel.
Yeah.
So what happens,
saw
that one thing gets approved, and now guess what? You set the new standard for every other new developer. So now that tree line is completely gone, and what made Wilmington so beautiful, which
was the oak
with
trees
the connection, yeah, the connection to nature is going to be disappearing. And
we
lived in this townhouse, and there was an empty lot across the street, and there was all of these oaks.
That one near the
Spartina,
old ABC. Yep.
There was all these live oaks, and they were like, these fucking people that are trying to save the trees are slowing down the development.
They got
guess what ended up winning? The trees. Thank God. I'm like, this is, you have to hold on to the essence of the town. And if your main motive is profit, you're going to end up cannibalizing yourself.
Gosh, that's with like
That actually makes a good point too. I was actually just having a conversation when I was walking around downtown Wilmington before this, is the difference between Southport and Wilmington. And I think you just hit on it, is Wilmington is willing to do those tourist attractions and let everyone and anyone come in.
Well,
and Southport is like, hey,
off limits.
This is don't come in here if you have any type of franchise.
If they do, they're
going to
ruin it. They're going to ruin the enticement of going to Southport. I mean, it's, right. you got to make a special trip out there. I mean, it's not, but they did kind of St. James Plantation. I remember before that was even built there, it was even more alluring to be like, what's the guy that writes all the movies, The Notebook, and Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah.
So all of his movies are based mostly out of Southport. And then now you've got Jonas, who's doing the Outer Banks show. And, you know, they're creating all this. They're showing how beautiful it is. And then people are like, but what gets me is they're building these condo places like crazy. Like, I'm looking at these. I mean, we're driving down the road and I'll be like, the corner of my eye, I'm like, whoa, there's like a whole community of housing, of like, It's like, I don't want to say
and
it
right
so now.
They're so expensive.
I mean, like I said, I'm almost paying $2,000 a month for a one bedroom.
Easy.
It's I need privacy. I need something safe. And I'm also 43 years old. So I've worked for every fucking thing I have. So I'm not like a 19-year-old entitled child that's been given everything to me by my parents. So I've had to work. This penthouse is mine. It's mine. I pay for it on my own. I have no help. I have no investors. I have nobody giving me money when I'm in a hard spot. You know, I have to figure it out. Right. And I have to work harder. I've put in longer hours. Yes, a lot of people know me as this party guy. I was just referred to as the cocktail king, which is pretty fucking funny. But like, you know, it takes a lot of, nobody's ever owned a penthouse for free that I know of, you know? So it's just, it's coming around where Mayfair is getting ruined. And I really thought for a while there it was going to make it come back. But then I know this sounds crazy, and this is just because it came off the top of my head, was where the Fox and the Hound used to be, and then right. Coquina's across the way. And then they've tried so many things. Ash has tried stuff. These other people have tried, the restaurant people in town, you know, and we've spoken, I've talked to both of you. Yes, yep. I'm ready for a second place. I want something close to the beach. I have a very solid handful of investors that believe in me and don't even give a shit about a huge contract. They just know whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do my best to make it work.
Absolutely.
Which is awesome. But like, still, I'm not like jumping at the first thing that comes along either, just because I can get a ghost investor. I want to make sure it's going to fit. I want to make sure it's going to be right. And Mayfair, where they just did, like, got rid of Fox and the Hound. What's there now? I mean, I don't know.
But their rate, what are they called?
The rents have gone, like.
Well, it's not even the rent. It's the public fees that you pay.
Right.
What's the HOAs acronym? Yeah, no, it's like HOA, but it's for commercial. It starts with a C, I want to say.
COA?
No. But it's CAM fees.
CAM.
Yeah, so you have CAM fees. The CAM fees there are insane. And you're also paying like upwards of $35 a square foot, which is insane for the area. Right. And you're not getting it because what you have is just failure after failure. And you cannot say that Ash doesn't know what he's doing.
Of course.
He is a genius in the restaurant
space. I live at Circa. It's right downstairs.
Yeah. I live at Origin.
So it's right there. Yeah.
It's right near. His attention to detail is unparalleled. Like, he is truly, truly gifted and puts all of his heart into his projects. If he can't make something work, there's a problem with something else. So you can't tell me that this failed restaurant that is fucking way too big, you're gonna charge over $35 a square foot and then have insane CAM fees for what?
For what?
For absolutely what?
He was our neighbor. Like, he was our neighbor on Pope Court Landfall for years. And he's sort of still my mentor. I still meet with Ash, and we at some point we were going to do something together. It was before Perla and after Origins, somewhere in there. And I've known him for, you know, I guess 15 years plus. And, you know, you've seen Circa is the staple. It's my favorite restaurant in town. I go there. Everybody's seen me there. I go there twice, three times a week because it is right there, but also because it's consistent. I feel welcome every time. Down to the chefs, to the busboy, to the expediters, to Julia, the manager. I love her so much. She's like, saves my ass all the time with that, you know, that bolognese I'm addicted to. But no, it's like Ash.
I'm running to the bathroom. I'm sorry.
So anyway, well, Tyler, this has been fun. And hurry up and go pee. We'll just pause it. Okay.
We have plenty of stuff to talk about.
Yes, we do. So anyway, living in Leland, I want to move to Brunswick County. I've considered it.
Because I lived out there 8 years now.
And I grew up in Winnebago. So right. It's crazy because it's not crazy. It's logical right now because for me to drive from here to Wrightsville Beach and from here to a beautiful acre lot, fenced in, three bedroom, maybe three bathroom, maybe room over a garage, from what I'm paying for a one bedroom on this river is like, I'm just trying to make sense of it. And everybody's like, oh, once you go over the bridge, it's a whole different scenario. I'm like, I've been doing that since I was 7 years old.
Right.
So like, I know, but before then there was literally nothing between here and my parents' house. Like, you'd have to go off the highway into Leland to go to McDonald's or Wilson's or Hannaford or wherever the hell used to be back there.
Well, let me ask you this though. So before you moved downtown with working here and everything and owning this place, how much longer will it take for living out in Leland to get here versus when you lived in Landfall to get to here? Probably longer than Landfall.
Absolutely. And I think that there's so much more potential to grow as far as with my investors. I've been considering moving and putting something over there because, yes, a lot of my close friends, people I care a great deal about, my investors, my people that want to see me thrive on that side of town, there might not be, there's so much competition now. I mean, I'm not mad about Giorgio. I'm happy for Commodore and G Prime and Kipos and all the things that have, that were not even around when I got this place. So, cause a lot of people from there were coming downtown, which is good now because a lot of people were actually taking the chance that lived on that side of town to come downtown and try out the restaurants and the bars and actually give downtown a chance. And now they realize they really like it. So now they're, despite of them putting all these other restaurants and new bars and everything over there, people are still getting in the Uber and getting drivers in advance, like, you know, to schedule to come down here and go to Seabird and go to Quanto Bossa. There's a lot of new restaurants that, I mean, Seabird's
amazing.
I just got the,
Dean is great.
Dean just got the award. And so congrats to him. So it's still, despite their, or considering they're putting all these new restaurants, G Prime's great. Went there for my birthday. It was awesome. Haven't been to Pearl yet, but, you know, Origins, that's when I lived over there was when I started going to Origins because, you know, I was friends with Ash. It was right there and it was easy and the food was great. And if I lived back over there, I would go there more, but I'm a true Circa. I mean, I've been, that's like my spot, man. I love that place. But he was, when, while you were gone, I asked him about versus, okay, like now I've got this big decision coming up. So on our last podcast with you and I, we were talking about, I had just moved downtown. So I was getting used to living downtown and it was a huge new thing for me. I've never even lived in an apartment like that downtown, especially with a dog and everything else full time now. So trying to like, now my lease is about up. I don't know if I'm ready to buy yet. And I don't know where because like, it's getting so congested over there. Like I drive, if I try to go to, I do like a couple of those stores over there to shop for my supplies. And, you know, I've got friends over there, so we try to make lunch dates or whatever. But it's just as, it's faster for me to drive to Winnebo now. And it's, I have that little bit of time to decompress in the car, maybe take some work calls while I'm driving. So I could be more productive now driving to Brunswick County instead of 50 red lights between here and there and just the chaos between here and living off of Wrightsville Avenue or, you know, back in Landfall or wherever. I don't know. I'm just, it's one of those things as he lives over there and I was asking him what his, like what his take is. And do you really love living over there? Do you feel like you should live in Wilmington to make your life easier for work? Or are you happy having that disconnect?
Yeah, that's exactly what you said too. I use it for a lot of my meetings too. Like I have that time, boom, put it on your phone. You're talking to whoever, whenever.
You're like, okay, I got some time in the car. Yeah. Like, I got 10 minutes, call me.
Exactly. And then also like podcast time. Like I use that. So the, I'm from Pennsylvania. I mean, every commute up there near Philly is an hour anyway to go 5 minutes. So, or it should be 5 minutes. So being down here to take 25 minutes to go from the very far side of Leland into Mayfair is nothing to me to compared also to have, this,
like using the penthouse as your center point.
Right.
It's like, I'm looking literally right now at, you know, Leland and behind me, behind my head would be Wrightsville Beach. So it's like, we are literally right in the middle. And, and like, I would like to have for the dog, like this, these walks five, I mean, I have Caroline, I do have some help with him and it's just like every time a walk, I mean, he'll wake me up 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, like with the look, like I got to go. And I'm like, holy shit. I literally just fell asleep. So I got to get up, put my clothes on and then I'm not happy. So it's like, but you know, so it's trying to decide like, is Brunswick County a more smarter move for me right now or trying to stay on the side of the bridge? So.
Also for me, it's a different thing too, because my parents live 15 or 20 minutes down the road and they own 60 acres of undeveloped land.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, so that's another reason why I love it down there. I can just skip
Jesse, you
over
have
there.
To be on this side of the bridge. I know you.
I know.
Who are you kidding?
Right? I love the devil's advocate.
I think you're right. Yeah,
you will be the happiest on the side of the bridge.
It's just going to be a thing, right?
It's going to be a thing.
It's going to be a whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I know. And like, I grew up out there. So I have a lot of my very best friends live out there and people I consider my family, like my grandmas and uncles and whatever would have be called the adopted family. They all live out there. So it's not like I'd be out there and not know anybody on my days off.
But I know, but you want things to do and you still
Like I want to go to Origins. I want to go.
Vibrant lifestyle. Where you're going
have you
to
thought about moving towards like the country club?
Which one?
The one off of
Cape Fear?
Yeah.
That would be great. But Landon, can you just move to the figure eight house so I can like take your house? But no, maybe, I don't know. I'm just, it's really, it's about to happen. Like I got to give the notice. Like my 60 days is up now, but I'm definitely not staying in one of these apartments. It's not working for me. Like having a dog, a 90 pound lab, and he needs a yard. We need a fence, but there's that privacy part. We all can, we all need that. I mean, we're in the public eye. We're, you know, there are crazy people out there. I've had restraining orders against people I don't even know. So it's like we have to be careful. And yes, I have a security person at the door and all those things, but I'm aware of that. And then, but I don't want to end up in a compromisable situation where I can get hurt either. So, but you're right. I know. I'm like, oh, I'm like praying, God, please.
There's some great stuff. Even
I want my forever home. I'm ready.
That's for rent. And
like on the beach?
Yeah. Or on the intercoastal.
With a yard. With a fence in yard. Fence I need to be able to let him out.
That makes it harder over there. Yeah.
I just don't want, I'm done with the apartment thing, the townhouse thing. I don't care if I have a little 2-bedroom fixer upper.
I'll suggest a couple places and we're not recording and you can check them out. Yeah. I haven't been there in years, so I don't know, but look at him.
You know, I think you're right. There's that thing with over the bridge. It's like it causes a whole nother, like right now with all the bridge repair. I mean,
I would be ripping
my hair. I would figure out a way who has the helicopter. I'd be like, I need to like get helicopter.
Whoever owns all that land.
Yes.
Right.
Destroyed.
Exactly.
What's his name?
60 acres. But with the whole Mayfair thing, to pick up where we left off, I thought, I know you might slap me for corporate, whatever, but what would go there is like a Cheesecake Factory or something. It's like one of those like places in that you go to that's, they've got gazillions of dollars. It's always consistent. We don't have one here. I don't have one. I don't even remember the last time I ate at one, but somewhere that would go where Fox and the Hound or something like that, that's sort of family oriented. It's the quality of the food's okay. But something that's not going
to
be.
They've talked to them in Mayfair before. And then also, what's that other Asian-esque place?
P.F. Chang's.
P.F.
Chang's.
Oh, there's another, that's another same.
They don't make
thing.
Enough money. So the chain said no.
Right.
Okay.
And honestly, again, it is such a mistake. It's such a mistake to go the chain route in this town.
Well, yeah, because you want to keep everything like within the community and keep
it. They don't support
local.
It. The community does not support it. And you have to listen to the community.
But Dave and Buster's, like, do you think that's
going to fail?
It's going to fail. Yeah.
It will fail.
I won't go there.
I'm not going. You'll
never
to.
I was going to say, it's not on my list. Yeah.
God knows. There was a Dave and Buster's here? Where?
It wasn't a Dave and Buster's, though. It was called a Wilson's or something, right?
Oh, Wilson's. I knew the family. Pam Wilson's husband. He used to own Wilson's grocery store.
Yes.
Yeah. It would be the same vibe.
It also failed.
Yeah. And now it's a weird church, like, oh, sorry, God, you know.
Well, even Jungle Rapids is for sale right now.
Oh, my God.
Really? I didn't know that.
I have always wanted to rent that out for my birthday and just have all my friends come.
Oh, no, yeah, that's
just
for sale.
Like an adult day at Jungle Rapids. Edibles, like the whole nine yards. I want like a Jungle Rapids day where everything's working, every slide, every go-kart.
Good luck on that.
And it be an adult-only night. How fun would that be, though?
That would be
fun.
We rented out the whole place.
The whole place for one night, like, but even have it, even the water slide's working at night.
Yeah. How,
I mean, that could be wild. I would pay $100 a ticket for that.
They'd probably do it.
From like 9 to midnight or something. Mm-hmm. And just like, whatever.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
It would be fun.
Let us know when you do it.
We'll be there.
No kids allowed, guys. Sorry.
That's fine.
Adults only party. No. But once again, I want to thank, I've got chatting with Candace. She's got her new podcast.
Canceled Weekly.
Canceled Weekly, which I need to get tuned up with. And Tyler Yaw with Whiskey and Wisdom. Yeah. I'm so grateful to have y'all here tonight.
Thanks for hosting us here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We'll do it again.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, y'all.
Definitely.
Thanks.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.